tell you a little story before I start preaching this morning. I had a great message prepared for you. A great message, I thought. Anyway, it was Thursday. I was working on it. Wednesday, I was working on it. Friday, I was finished up with it. I thought, man, I'm going to have a whole Saturday to relax. It's going to be great. And so I sent Anthony and Ariel all the information for the bulletin. They put it together. Everything is good. Then Saturday night, I sat down about 9 o'clock, and I started working on my message, just practicing it a little bit, going over it some. And God started speaking to me, and I was like, no! And so you don't get that message before. Instead, you get the one that I worked on from about 9:30 to about 2:30 this morning. Because that's the one that God wants you to hear today. Amen? Amen. Now, it's hard when God does that stuff, so I'm going to need a little leeway, a little forgiveness, maybe a little prayer as we go through the message tonight. Because this is a strong message. This is a great message. But I believe it's one that God definitely wanted preached over the one that I put together earlier this week. So if you're there today and you have your Bibles, open up your Bibles to the book of Luke. Open up your Bibles to the book of Luke. Today we're going to look at a couple sections of scriptures in Luke. If you have your Bible, open up to Luke and kind of keep bookmark Luke chapter 19 and Luke chapter 23. So Luke chapter 19, and then if you flip over a couple pages, we'll be looking at a little bit of Luke chapter 23 as well. We'll start looking at Luke 19 verse 28 when we get there. And the title of today's sermon is, what happened between Palm Sunday and Good Friday? What happened between Palm Sunday and Good Friday? So let's bow our heads and go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you, God, for being with us today. Thank you, God, for promising to never leave us nor forsake us. Thank you, God, for this wonderful day we celebrate as Palm Sunday all over the world, Lord. Thank you, God, for everything that you do for our families on a daily basis, how you love us, how you care for us, how you watch out for us, even when we don't see you, Lord. God, you are so amazing and so good to us. Thank you for all that you've done, but thank you most for sending your only begotten Son to die on the cross for our sins. Without Jesus doing that, Lord, we wouldn't have a hope of ever making it to heaven. But through your Son, Jesus Christ, God, someday, if we have accepted you as our Lord and Savior, we'll be there in heaven sitting next to you. Thank you, God, for all that you've done. Please bless this message. Use me as your messenger, Lord, and share the scriptures you would have it shared today to touch our hearts. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now, many of you know I like to start out my sermons with a question. And so somebody said, well, most pastors, they start out their sermons with a joke. Well, I'm not really that funny of a guy. And so I started out with a question because then that gets you thinking. It gets gears turning in your head. It gets your mind kind of motivated, and it gets you focused on what God has to say to you today. And so the question I have for you this morning is, are you a casual or are you a committed Christian? You don't have to answer that out loud, but I want you to think about that for a minute. Are you a casual Christian or are you really a committed Christian? So as you ask yourself that question, think about your life. Think about your faith. Think about your relationship with Jesus. And then answer that question to yourself. Are you a casual or are you a committed Christian? Now, many of you know today is Palm Sunday. And Palm Sunday marks the day where Jesus makes this triumphant entry into Jerusalem. It begins the first day of the last week that he's going to be alive here on earth with his disciples. And so Palm Sunday is pretty exciting. It's actually in every single gospel. And so if you look in all four gospels, you'll find the Palm Sunday story is in there. And so this is a time where Jerusalem was so excited. They're looking for a king to come into their city, that Jesus is going to fulfill the prophecy. He's going to ride in on this colt or this donkey into the city. And so people are excited. Just like you see the clothes laid down there. That's exactly what they were doing coming into the city. They were laying down clothes. They were laying down palm branches. They were shouting, Hosanna in the highest. They were super excited. And so they were throwing a huge parade like the city had never seen before. But while the people were excited and they were wrapped up in this emotion, this was kind of bittersweet because just in a few days, we read this celebration. A few days after this celebration, we know that the cross is coming. Now, we know this because we have the whole Bible. They didn't know this at the time. But for us, Palm Sunday, it's an exciting day because we're celebrating Jesus. But it's also a tough day because we think about this cross that's coming. We know that many of these people that were shouting, Hosanna, praise the Lord in the highest, a few days later, would be shouting the words, "Crucify him! Crucify him!" Bless you. And so I wonder, what changed in this 5-day period? How could people go from praising Jesus and shouting hallelujah and Hosanna in the highest to a couple days later shouting, "Crucify him, crucify him"? Well, I'll tell you what, there was a lot of wishy-washy Christians back then. And I'll tell you, today we face the same trouble. And so this morning I want to focus our attention on two different sections of Scripture, both focused on Jesus. One focused on the triumphant entry of Jesus Christ, and the other one focused on the people's judgment of Jesus Christ. So if you have your Bibles, look there at Luke. We're going to look at Luke chapter 19, beginning in verse 28. That's what we're going to look at first. Listen to what God's Word says. It says, "When he had said this, he went on ahead, going up to Jerusalem. And it came to pass, when he drew near to Bethpage and Bethany at the mountain called Olivet, that he sent two of his disciples, saying, 'Go into the village opposite you, where as you enter you will find a colt tied, on which no one has ever sat. Loose it and bring it here. And if anyone asks you, why are you loosing it? Thus you shall say to him, because the Lord has need of it.' So those who were sent and went their way and found it just as Jesus said to them. But as they were loosing the colt, the owners of it said to them, 'Why are you loosing the colt?' And they said, 'The Lord has need of him.' Then they brought him to Jesus, and they threw their own clothes on the colt, and they set Jesus on him. And as they went, many spread their clothes on the road. Then as they are now drawing near the descent of the Mount of Olives, the whole multitude of the disciples began to rejoice and praise God with a loud voice for all the mighty works they had seen, saying, 'Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord, peace in heaven and glory in the highest.' And some of the Pharisees called to him from the crowd and said, 'Teacher, rebuke your disciples.' But he answered and said to them, 'I tell you that if they should keep quiet, the stones would immediately cry out.'" So in the scripture we hear here, we see that the disciples were excited. Everybody was excited. I'll tell you, if I had to go untie some colt, some donkey that wasn't mine and take it for the Lord, I'd be kind of scared. In another section of the scripture, it says that two disciples went and did this. Now, we don't know what two it was. It could have been Peter and Andrew. Could have been John and Judas. We don't know who went out there. But these disciples, they went up, they untied this colt, this donkey, and brought it back for Jesus to ride on. Now, why is this so exciting about Jesus riding on a colt or a donkey? Well, the reason it's excited is because this is prophecy being fulfilled. That as he comes and he rides on this donkey, that he's proclaiming himself in front of all the people that he is the Messiah, that he is the King. So you can see how excited the people were. The Pharisees get upset at all the commotion caused in the city. And they tell him to be quiet. But Jesus said, if I tell him to be quiet, even the rocks would cry out. I don't know, if you have Jesus as your heart and he's your Lord and Savior, it's hard not to praise him, isn't it? I'll tell you, I woke up this morning. And as I wake up most mornings, I'm singing a song. And so I was singing the song, "Jesus is Lord of All." And I'm singing it, and I'm singing it, and Josh looks at me and he goes, "Dad, do you have to be so happy every morning? Can you just be quiet till I wake up?" And I look over at him and I said, started singing it louder and louder and smiling, and he gives me this dirty look, and then he started singing in with me. But I'll tell you that even the rocks will cry out when you're praising the Lord, because it's just such an amazing thing. But look, if you turn over just a few pages, you'll see that a few days later, look at how the tables turned. Look with me at Luke 23, verse 13. Luke 23, verse 13. This is the people's judgment of Christ. It says, "Then Pilate, when he had called together the chief priests, the rulers, and the people, he said to them, 'You have brought this man to me as one who misleads the people. And indeed, having examined him in your presence, I have found no fault in this man concerning those things which you accuse him of. No, neither did Herod, for I sent you back to him, and indeed nothing deserving of death has been done by Jesus. I will therefore chastise him and release him, for it was necessary for him to release one to them at the feast.' And they all cried out at once, saying, 'Away with this man, and release to us Barabbas, who had been thrown into prison for a certain rebellion made in the city and for murder.' Pilate, therefore, wishing to release Jesus, again he called out to them. But they, the crowd, said, 'Crucify him, crucify him.' Then he said to him the third time, he said, "Why? What evil has Jesus done? I have found no reason for death in him. I will therefore chastise him and let him go." But the crowd was insisting, demanding with loud voices that he be crucified. And the voices of these men and of the chief priests prevailed. So Pilate gave sentence that it should be as they requested. And he released to them one, the one they requested, one who for rebellion and murder had been thrown into prison. But he delivered Jesus to their will. Wow. Wow. Isn't it amazing? These people are praising God 1 minute, and the next minute say, "Crucify him." Aren't we fickle like that as Christians? We're praising God 1 minute when he does something great for us, but the next minute, when we ask God to answer our prayer, and he doesn't answer our prayer the way we want him to, then we're there complaining, aren't we? Then we're there condemning. Then we're saying, complaining, just like these people. We may not shout, crucify him, but we're not giving glory to God anymore. Why? Because he didn't give us what we want. We act like a bunch of spoiled brats sometimes, don't we? And that's exactly what these people were doing. These people wanted a king. They wanted a deliverer. And when they saw him beaten and battered and bruised, and they realized he wasn't going to save them from Rome like he saved the Israelites from Egypt, they decided to shout, crucify him, instead of praise his name. It's hard for us as Christians to be able to praise God 1 minute when everything's good, and then to praise God when everything's bad. But isn't God the God of the mountaintops and the God of the valleys? Amen. So why are we such fickle people? The great evangelist Billy Graham has been quoted many times as saying that the greatest mission field in our country today is our local church. The greatest is our local church. Now, I'm not sure whether this statement is true or not, but one thing I do know is that people in church, they know what to say. They know how to say it. They even know how to act in church. But when the rubber truly meets the road, there are many people in churches today with no personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. No salvation, just empty words. We see a perfect example of that in our two passages this morning. On Sunday, Jesus rides into the city. People are shouting, praising his name. And on Friday, they're shouting, "Give us Barabbas, crucify Jesus, crucify him." So why was there the change? Well, there are all kinds of different possible reasons. But one simple reason is this. Daryl says this a lot, is that out of the heart, the mouth speaks. The one simple reason why they had that fickle change in their life was because their words didn't match their heart. They had a casual, not a committed faith. They had a great religion, but they missed the person, Jesus. And that's a huge problem that we're facing today too. So I asked myself the question, how can we have a committed faith in the world that we live in today? How can we be real and sincere and consistent in all that we do? Well, this morning, I want to give you three different keys, three different ways that I think you can have just that type of faith. The first key is that a committed faith is not self-centered. A committed faith is Christ-centered. Would you say that with me? A committed faith is not self-centered. It's Christ-centered. Amen. A committed faith is not self-centered. It's Christ-centered. It's not about you or what you get or what God does for you. It's about what you can do for the Lord. You were created for his glory, to serve him and praise his name for his purpose. But often we look at God like he's a magic genie just sitting there on the side waiting to serve us, don't we? That's not a way that we have a committed faith. In America, we tend to say to God, "Hey God, here's my calendar, here's my agenda, and if you could just fit it in here, right here, then I can do that." "Oh no, God, I can't do this right now. Sorry, there's no room for you there." We have a different idea of faith in America today. Our faith is centered on what God can do for us instead of what we can do for him. Now in this passage, these people were praising Jesus as he passed by, but many of them praised for two reasons. The first, they had praised him because of his miracles. He had healed the sick. He had just finished raising Lazarus from the dead. That's pretty awesome, right? Right. He made the lame to walk again. He gave the blind sight, and anything else that needed to be done, Jesus did it. So they were praising him because of his miracles. If you look back in Scripture, it was because of his works, because of the things he did. These people were praising God. They praised Jesus. Why? Because Jesus was serving them. Secondly, they praised Jesus because they saw Jesus in this political way. They said, well, here comes this king. He's going to rescue us from these Romans. Just like he did the Israelites from Egypt, he's going to rescue us. And so why were they praising him again? Because their attitude wasn't, what can I do for you, Lord, or thank you for what you've done for me. Their attitude was, what else can you do for me? What else can you do for me? I want to take a break from this story a minute, just to tell you a story about a Spanish king. There's a legend about this ancient village in Spain. These villagers learned that the king would pay him a visit. In 1,000 years, a king had never come to that village, so they were super excited. Excitement grew. They said, we got to throw a big celebration for this king. All the villagers agreed, but it was a poor village, and there wasn't a lot of resources. So someone came up with this idea where all the villagers were going to make their own wines, and they were going to take their very best cup of wine, and they were going to dump it into a large vat, every single villager. So when the king came, he would take a cup from there, and he would have the very best that that whole town had to offer them. So it sounded like a good idea. So the king came. There were hundreds of thousands of people there. Everybody was excited. So finally, the vat was full. The king arrives. He takes his silver cup and he puts it underneath the spigot. And when he puts it out to get the drink, he turns the handle and he takes a sip. And he thinks he's going to drink the wine, but it was nothing more than water. Now you see, every villager reasoned, well, I'll withhold my best wine and I'll substitute it with water. With so many other cups of wine, nobody will ever know. But the problem was, every single person in the village held their best and only gave water. So when the king came, all he had to drink was water, and he was greatly dishonored. Sometimes I think we're a lot like that Spanish village in America. God wants our very best. He wants every part of us. He wants all of us. He wants us to be committed Christians, not casual Christians. But what we do is we don't give him our very best. We give them what we have left over, don't we? If you're honest with me today, have you ever said, I'm going to do this devotion, I'm going to pray to God in the morning, I'm going to read this Bible, and you don't do it? Yep. And then it comes the nighttime, and you say, well, I'm going to do it at night, just let me finish watching this show, just let me finish giving the kids a bath, just let me finish with this, and then what happens? Happen. It doesn't happen, right? You try to give God your best, your focus is right in the morning, but it passes you by. And then by the time the evening comes, your focus is right again. You want to spend time with God, but you gave him what was left over. And then by the time you're done, you didn't give him anything. He gave you 24 hours of life, and what did you give him? Nothing. That's the kind of world that we live in today. And so in this Palm Sunday 2017, we need to honor our great king. We need to worship our great king by being committed Christians, withholding nothing, but giving him our all. We got to stop being casual. We have to stop holding back. If God is calling us to do something, we need to go do that. If God is saying you got to get rid of this sin in your life, you need to put that down, repent of that sin, and get rid of it, and get right with God. Do you know this? Nobody is promised tomorrow. I make plans for tomorrow. Someday I hope to retire. But you know what? I'm not promised tomorrow. And neither are you. We only have this one day. What are you doing with the 24 hours that God gave you? Are you using it to His glory? Or are you using it for your glory? Think about it. A second key to having this committed faith is a relationship with Jesus Christ. Many of those who gathered, they threw their coats on the ground. They threw those palm leaves on the ground. Threw the branches in their street. I'll bet there was a couple that did it because, boy, they were excited about Jesus coming. But you know what? I'll bet there was others that did it just because it was the trendy thing to do. Hey, well, Brother George is throwing down his coat. Man, I better do the same thing. So let me lay my coat down. And then Mike sees me do it. Well, he's a pastor. If he's doing it, well, I probably should do it too. So Mike lays his down. And what we end up doing is we're just following Jesus because other people do. And when other people follow Jesus, that doesn't get us into heaven. We're just might as well be just like the people that are out there shouting, crucify him, because we don't have a relationship. You can come to church all your life, but if you don't accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you're still going to hell. That's not a popular message, but it's the truth. You have to accept him. You have to know him. I don't care if your grandmother knows him, your mom knows him, your dad, your brother, your husband, your wife. You have to have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. That's the only way that you get saved. And those, the second way to have a committed faith is to really have a relationship with Jesus Christ. I could tell you as a husband, I love my wife. And every single day I look forward to going home and spending time with my wife. There's nothing more I want to do. People say, well, you don't hang out with a lot of people. You don't do a lot of stuff. You know why? Because my favorite thing is to spend time with my wife. Now, if you want to spend time with me and my wife, great. But if you just want to spend time with me outside of church hours, probably not going to happen. Because I want to spend time with my wife. That's who I love. And my relationship with Jesus is the same way. I want to spend time with him every day. Every single day I want to. It's not something that you have to make me do. It's something I want to do. Ask yourself the question. Do you want to spend time with Jesus, or do you just do it because you feel like you have to? Think about it. The next thing I want to share with you is if you have a committed faith, and this is kind of my final point, if you have a committed faith, your committed faith is not swayed by personal circumstances or personal crises. If you have a committed faith, it doesn't matter what happens in your life, you're still going to follow the Lord Jesus. But you see, here in America, many times we come to accept, if we accept that Jesus is our Lord and Savior, everything's going to go good. No, it gets worse. Well, the devil attacks you, doesn't he, Brother Mike?
He does.
And so we think everything's going to be perfect. And so we think, well, there might be a couple of bad things, but we can handle that. But when the bottom drops out from you, do you still follow him?
Yep.
Or do you turn away? That's the difference between a committed Christian and a casual Christian. I'll tell you that faith is not based on circumstances. Faith is not based on your situations. Faith is based on what Jesus did for you when he died on the cross for your sins. That's what faith is based on, whether you believe that or not.
Amen.
You know, Jesus, we think Jesus promised us all these great things of blessings, of wealth, and materialistic goods, and all these things. You know what Jesus promised you? He promises that he'll never leave you nor forsake you. He promises to you that no matter what you're going through, he's going to be there with you, right alongside you. That's what he promises you. So instead of hoping for everything else, why don't you lean on that? And lean on, Jesus, I need you. Help me in this situation, Lord. Help me to believe in you, to have faith in you, to trust in you, no matter what I'm going through today. We have people that are going through tough problems. We have people that are having problems with God. We have people that are having problems with the law. We have people that are having relationship problems. We got people that are having dog problems. We got all kinds of problems in America today. And so we can't just worship God when we're up here. He is the God of the hilltops and the God of the valleys. We got to have faith in God and really trust him. A committed faith takes the good with the bad, knowing that all we're ever promised is that Jesus will never leave us nor forsake us. Folks, I wish I could stand up here today and tell you that being a Christian is all roses and butterflies, but it's not. If you want to be a committed Christian today, you need a faith that's not self-centered. You need a faith that's Christ-centered. You need a faith that is relationship-driven between you and Jesus with no one else in between. And you need a faith that's steady, that's not swayed by what any other people do. And when you have that, you'll be able to joyfully say that Jesus is the Lord of all. But until you have that, you'll struggle. I just want you to listen to a verse from this real quick. God is just bringing this to my mind. I just need to share it with you. Jesus is Lord of all. If you can say that your relationship with Christ is not self-centered, it's Christ-centered. If you can say that you have a relationship with nobody in between you and Jesus, if you can say that you have a relationship that's steady and doesn't give up based on circumstances, folks, then you can sing this joyful song, Jesus is Lord of all. Listen to this word. All my tomorrows, all my past, Jesus is Lord of all. I've quit my struggles, contentment at last. Jesus is Lord of all. King of kings. Jesus is Lord of all. All my possessions and all my life, Jesus is Lord of all. I pray that you can sing that and believe the words. I pray that you know that in your life, that Jesus is Lord of all. Folks, it's not about us. It's about Him. We were created for His glory, to worship Him. I want to close with this little story today. A little girl was walking in a garden. She noticed this particularly beautiful flower. She admired its beauty and she went and smelled it. And boy, it smelled beautiful. She said, "Man, that is so pretty." And as she gazed on it, her eyes looked and she looked down in the soil and the dirt that it grew in. And she said, "Man, this dirt is all rocky and it's ugly and this is terrible." So what she did was she took that flower and she carefully pulled it out by its roots. And she ran over to the faucet and she rinsed it out. And she put it in a little cup and she was going to plant it in some other soil. But in the time she did that, the flower died. So the gardener came out and he said, "What are you doing? You destroyed my finest flower, my best plant." And the little girl said, "I'm sorry, I didn't like the dirt it was in. The dirt it was in was ugly." And the gardener replied, "I chose that spot and mixed that soil because I knew that was the place that that flower could grow best." Church, God has placed us right where we are today for a reason. Whatever trials you may go in through, you have to trust God. And in the trusting, we have to eventually see that our pressures, our trials, our difficulties, let them bring us to a new degree of spirituality where we're connected even more than we ever been before with Jesus. True contentment comes only when we accept what God is doing in our lives and we thank Him for it. I started out this sermon with a question, and I want to end with the same question. This morning, is your faith casual or committed? As we approach this week where Jesus suffered incredibly for us, a week where our sins, past, present, and future, were the nails that hung Him on the cross, doesn't Jesus deserve a second look? Doesn't He deserve total control of our life? Doesn't He deserve a personal relationship with you? Isn't it time that you stop being a casual Christian and you start being a committed Christian? Let's stand and bow our heads as we go to the Lord in prayer today. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we just come before you today, God, with broken hearts, Lord. God, if we're honest in this congregation today, every one of us has been in a place where we've been a casual Christian instead of a committed Christian. We've been in a place where we said, "You know, we love you, Lord, but boy, when the going gets tough, we may not follow through." We've already acknowledged, God, that there's been times where we tried to put you first in our life, but we failed and we didn't even give you any part of our life that day. Lord, you have blessed us and blessed us and blessed us. Lord, help us to get rid of this casual attitude and to get serious about our faith with you, to trust you no matter what we're going through, God. Help us to be the people you want us to be. Help us, Lord, to be committed just like you were committed. When you were on that cross, God, you could have came down. You could have called legions of angels, but you didn't do that. Why? Because you were committed to saving our life, to forgiving us for our sins, and to dying and rising again. Lord, help us to show the same commitment that you did. Help us to live with you with everything that we have, Lord. God, if there's anybody that needs to pray, I pray, God, that you give them the courage to come pray at these altars. Give them the strength to come down here and say, "God, I haven't been as committed to you as I have in the past. And Lord, I want to be that man. I want to be that woman. I want to be that child of God, Lord, that brings glory to you this Easter. I don't want another day to pass with me being a casual Christian. Lord, I don't know how much time I have left on earth. I want to live for you." If you want to come pray for that or any other reason, please come and pray.